There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to You're Booked. I'm Daisy Buchanan, your friendly neighbourhood book inspector, and I'm here to investigate some of our favourite writers and readers for spine-chilling crimes against literature, or rather, spine-bending crimes against literature. I want to find out about the classics they claim to have read when they've only seen the movie, the unpaid library fines they've stacked up, and the scandalous stories they like to read when they don't think anyone is watching. This week we have two partners in crime, the writers Robin Wilder and Stuart Heritage. Husband and wife, we spoke to Robin and Stuart over a fairly tipsy lunch in Ashford. I don't normally drink on the job, but I had to do it in order to get some secrets out of them. And we also spent some time with their charming children, Herbie and Ned. Stuart's book, Don't Be a Dick, Pete, was out last year. It's phenomenally funny. It's really, really warm and moving. I really, really enjoyed it, and I kept cackling and then ultimately stopping and bursting into tears. Robin writes a really beautiful column about motherhood for the website The Pool. Robin is one of the funniest writers I know, but also writes with great poignancy and warmth. Together, they record a parenting podcast, The Naughty Step, which is about their abilities as parents and their inabilities too, and had a really lovely time rummaging through their bookshelves. It was very good fun. Sorry about the sound in this episode. It's not the best. We were recording in their kitchen and it is quite echoey. However, hopefully you'll get used to it pretty soon and your ears will adjust. Anyway, here's what I discovered about their reading habits, and there were some seriously exciting, scandalous discoveries on those shelves. I'm here today with the writing super power couple, Robin Wilder and Stuart Heritage, and baby Ned. I'm the book inspector, and I've been having a snoop through Robin and Stuart's bookshelves and trying to find incriminating items. So, I see here a book about Seoul and a book about the Trans-Siberian Railway. Stuart, are you planning on leaving the country? And why is that? What are you escaping?
They're old.
What are you running from?
I wish I could escape the fucking country. These are books that I bought 15 years ago. The Seoul one is because I went to live in Seoul, and the Trans-Siberian Express one is because I briefly entertained the mad notion that instead of flying back from Seoul, I would get the train.
Did you get the train?
No. I'm kind of glad, because the very first chapter in that, the author just lists all the time he was ever mugged on the train. it sounds sort of hellish, but I like long railway journeys, and one day I will.
So, since I know that you lived in Seoul, because I've read your very excellent book, Don't Be a Dick, Pete, where this period of your life is detailed. It's right that you were teaching English.
Yes, to kindergarten.
Did you teach them any bad expressions? Or
I once asked them about their favourite films, and a lot of them, one of them really liked Anaconda, and so I had to try and explain to the other children what Anaconda was. And that morning on, I think, the Arm Network channel, they just showed Piranha 2, which is like Jaws, but with piranhas. And I got too far into the anecdote, and I had to explain what piranhas were and sort of how they attacked people. I wasn't a good teacher. I wasn't great.
And how would you describe a piranha to a young
I drew a picture.
Child.
I had to draw a picture of a fish with lots of teeth. Hardest thing I ever had to describe in English to children was warehouse. The concept of a warehouse is a very difficult thing to describe.
How did that come up?
I think it was in a book. It was warehouse, and I was trying to explain what it was, and I was just drawing pictures of a big room. And it, I got so... I spent 20 minutes on it, and I just it got worse and worse and worse. And in the end, I just went outside, got a Korean, and said... What's warehouse? And they said the word warehouse in Korean. And everyone went, oh. And I thought, I've wasted half of your lesson, your very expensive private English tuition.
Working out where things are stored. Where
just
where Amazon comes from.
Essentially.
Now, I found a controversial title on your bookshelf. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone with, I believe, an adult cover. It's really stylish, actually. I don't think I properly had a good look at these, but it is a lovely black and white picture of a steam train. And I think is this a version they did so you could read Harry Potter on your commute? You'd be like, yeah, and what? This is fine.
I think so. I actually think somebody bought it for me, so I may have been...
How convenient.
Yes, but I have all the others. They're all upstairs with their very childish covers. But I went through a period when I had glandular fever when I was 23, which was 500 years ago, roughly. And I was ill altogether for a period of 18 months, and I'd sworn that I wouldn't read the Harry Potters. But two things made me read it. One, this was before the age of Amazon, so I was restricted to these books or all of my mother's Agatha Christie novels and Dick Francis novels in the house. And two, they were filming the first Harry Potter movie in the town that I lived in, which was Bracknell. The town was abuzz with this news, and there was all this talk about the secret codes that they used. So I and a few of my friends went on a mission to find these secret codes. And it turns out the secret codes were just road signs that said HP1. And so needless to say, I was hooked. But yeah, I love all the Harry Potter books.
Why is it so thin?
Isn't the theory that they were all written for the age that Harry Potter was at the time? So Harry Potter was 11.
I've never heard that.
Hogwarts, because it's first year seniors. And then they get thicker and slightly more dark, because obviously as you get older, you get thicker and slightly more dark.
So the final one is when... That was a really good joke. So you're both journalists and writers, and what has been your best ever freebie?
I got a Hoover.
Ooh, wow.
That was good. I got a Dyson.
That Dyson is better than a Hoover. Dysons are really expensive.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. A vacuum cleaner. Initially, they offered me an Airblade for my office, but because I work at home, I was like, if you come, I'll have to attach this to my bathroom wall. And they went, I'll just give you a vacuum cleaner instead.
What?
They were going to send you a Dyson Airblade hand dryer.
Yeah, just because I said, literally, on a website that I ran that didn't have much traffic, I just said, Airblades are nice. And the PR people found me and were like, here, have this.
We got a holiday to Butlins in the hotel.
Yeah.
We got a hotel suite. At Butlins.
Purely because I tweeted they had a new advert, and I literally tweeted, I like this advert. And they went, come, please come for a week. And it was hellish,
it was
but it was really bad. But
it was a free. Weekend.
Well, you're not going to be getting any more free money.
I think we literally, the revelation of the weekend was that there was a Papa John's restaurant.
Yeah, a sit down Papa John's restaurant. What? Can you imagine such
Did
a thing?
Do you think there weren't pizza in
no.
the restaurant?
It was just
but
it was
they
pizza.
Put the pizza on little pizza like thrones.
And like a
table.
Trivety.
Yeah.
Is that what you
mean? Yeah.
Like a big pizza trivet.
We were very taken with it all.
What pizza did you have?
I have no idea.
It was good though, wasn't it? And then we were like, hey, they're doing karaoke in the pub, let's go. And I think you thought that there were going to be private karaoke booths like in London. And it was just a guy screaming like Sweet Caroline with blood coming out of his eyes.
I've never been to a more well-lit pub. It was like they were filming in there. Imagine being around the people who go to an 80s weekend at Butlins.
Oh, it was an 80s week.
They gave us the choice of 80s or 60s. And 60s, apparently, I asked one of the guys who worked there, 60s is where it all kicks off.
Yeah.
The 60s are the very violent ones. The 80s are quite sedate. I went on an air rifle course, which was in a porter cabin. And they just literally, we were the only people all weekend who wanted to do it. So they just slid some tables and chairs to the side of the room and let me fire air guns. It was amazing.
I found on your bookshelf some sexy, sexy books. Ooh. Here we have Belle de Jour, The Intimate Adventures of a London Cool Girl.
Belle de Jour is actually a friend of mine.
So had you read this before you knew her?
No, I knew her before she wrote them. And then she wrote them. And I was like, hey, I wonder where Brooke's gone. I haven't heard a lot from her, but I like these books. And it just didn't occur to me for ages. Even she started sending me free books. And she dedicated one to me.
Oh, wow.
Did she?
Yeah.
Which one?
Playing the Game. Which is I have somewhere.
I did see that on the shelf as well.
It's in the
brought it down.
Yeah, she dedicated it to me because I was nice to her.
Oh, really?
I wasn't even a writer at the time.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Dedicated to Charlotte Ballinger, BR, Curly B and Robin Wilder.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a big shot.
Do you have any sexy books?
No. I don't have any sexy anything. I get weird at sex scenes. I can't imagine how you would write them. That's... Like, there's a bit in my book that I had to write. My brother went by the nickname Shagger for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And he had some sort of exploits that I was so uncomfortable. I had to dance around it in print. Not... Slightly because I wanted to preserve his reputation a bit, but mainly just because I get so knotted up and any sort of... Do you have the Book of Fuck?
I have a book of fun. Where is
that? Did I miss that? I think
it might have been one of those ones that Stu maybe get rid of when we moved house, because apparently books are too heavy to carry anywhere and nobody carries books anywhere and nobody moves house with books because there are Kindles.
This is an ongoing conversation we have.
Stuart, if it was up to him, would live in a featureless white cube.
Yes.
In the middle of nowhere.
Well, on the subject of delicious things and eating, this is not a book that I can object to in legal terms, but I'm fascinated by it and I have many questions. Here we have Coolio, the Ghetto Gourmet, the author of Cooking with Coolio.
I was given that as a gift by Robin's best friend 2 Christmases ago.
Yes.
I failed to cook a single thing from it because it's all called like things like motherfucking lasagna. It's just basic recipes with swear words, as far as I can tell.
I've also found here this beautiful book, The Moomin's Cookbook.
Yes, I got that. I'm a big Moomin fan. I'm a big Tove Jansson fan. I went to the launch of this book.
Wow. In Finland.
No, in Clerkenwell. They were serving blue vodka and some people dressed up as Moomins were hosting it. There is a recipe in there for toast. So some of it's good, some of it's porridge, which is literally just make some porridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Special.
Is that what they don't have ingredients? It just says make some porridge.
I think there are 3 ingredients.
And then in the Coolio one, it says make some porridge, motherfucker.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of cookbooks.
I think we may have some. You used the Paul Hollywood.
Yeah, Paul Hollywood wrote a bread book, which is very, very good. And he used that a lot.
You're not friends anymore, are you?
He unfollowed me. We were pals. I was like the first person ever to write anything nice about him in the world. When it moved to Channel 4, I was just mean to him, for lols, and then he unfollowed me, which is fine. I don't expect, I would have done the same thing, actually.
You made Paul Hollywood sad.
He did, he was at a country fair with The Predator, and if you search on Twitter, The Predator, the monster from the film.
What?
And there are photographs of him posing with the Predator and photographs of him doing tug of war with the Predator. And it's amazing. And every time he'd be on Bake Off, I'd be like, everyone, look at this picture. And he eventually unfollowed me.
I meant to ask, going back to Harry Potter, which I know we've just talked about, which books are you really excited about reading to Ned and Herbie? And which books will they not be allowed to get near?
I don't know. I read him the bedtime stories at night. And we've just got a huge amount, haven't we?
We have many more books than we have as adults.
Yeah, such a ton of
so many
picture books. There's at the moment, we're reading Sarah and Duck, the CBeebies show has got Sarah and Duck books. So he makes me read 3 of those in the same sitting.
Looking forward to him reading there? I have like 5 million childhood favourites. So
I know, and you try. When he was like 6 months old, you're like, I will now read you this dense novel about fairies. And you sat him down and you got a paragraph in.
3,
and you were doing all the voices. And...
He was 8 days old.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I was reading, there's a book called The Children of Green Know by Lucy M. Boston.
Oh, I think I know that.
It's a beautiful book. It's a bit of a sort of Box of Delights type story. And I was like, Toby got off the train and onto the platform. And he just went, wah! This kid is a Philistine. All of the Narnia books, even the really Christian ones, I actually wanted to name him after a character in the Narnia books, didn't I?
Aslan.
Thomas Heritage.
No, Diggory, which is apparently...
Oh, absolutely. No, we're not calling it
Diggory. Two G's, Stuart.
Do you know what's a really good book? It's not out yet. Lucy Mangan's got a book called Bookworm, I think. And it's literally, it's a book of all the books she read as a kid. And it's lovely.
Oh.
It's really good.
I did spot that on your bookcase, actually, and I felt very envious and covetous. So maybe I will, if you want to pay me some hush money for my book inspector work, maybe I will liberate that.
Yeah, you can. It's really good. And also, the first three chapters are books that I'm reading to Herbie.
Oh,
so
really?
There's, like, The Tiger Who Came to Tea and Dr. Seuss books. And, yeah, it's interesting. She appears to be terrified by the world, though. Any books where anything exciting happens, she's like, this was not for me. I do not like tigers who come for tea.
I do often think that about the books I love and how often I really, really wish I could read about these lovely characters with no peril, like my fantasy is. A Poirot book that's called Poirot's Cozy Day, and he does no crime solving, there are no murders, he just has a tisane and he does a crossword. It's all the little grey cells are really working hard. He's just pottering about his lovely flat in Marylebone or, you know, somewhere. As I wanted to ask with childhood favourites and things you're going to share with your children, were you big readers as kids, and were there any books that you had to sneak out of the library or hide under the bed, or books that you read and enjoyed but you didn't want anyone to know you were reading?
I don't think so. I was very Roald Dahl and then Terry Pratchett. That's the two things I went to. But I don't think I was anything my parents were. I used to be a paperboy and used to steal, like, the Star from the shop and then just look at the pictures when I was a pubescent boy.
Really?
Yeah. I felt bad because that's essentially it's shoplifting. I was taking food from the plates of my employers.
You're a felon. I read everything. I read everything that came my way. I used to sit. I was an Enid Blyton child. So not only I read Enid Blyton, but I was like a child out of Enid Blyton. I would sit in the crook of a tree.
You made everyone call you Fanny.
No, I used to sit in the tree at the end of our garden, which had a stream at the bottom of it, and I used to read books there, and it was brilliant. The two things that I did read that weren't looked upon well by my parents. One was I went through a Judy Bloom phase, which I think we all did. I was at boarding school, so I got away with a lot of it. They were passed around. We also passed around the Flowers in the Attic series.
Oh my God, Virginia Andrews, I love those books.
Yes. But hate them. Have you ever tried to read one as an adult?
Not for a while. They are problematic, I think, is the modern word for them.
Very adjectival. She doesn't walk... Nobody walks down a staircase without describing something every step of the way. It's very annoying. And Judy Bloom, my mum found a copy of... I can't remember which novel it was, but it was about a boy watching a girl get changed through his binoculars.
I think that might be Then Again, Maybe I Won't.
Yes. And my mother said, this is filth! But one thing I used to read, which isn't strictly a book, it was a comic from the 70s
called Misty. Yes, the spooky one.
Yes. Well, I think this is where my love of everything spooky came from. But every Misty heroine had amazing eyeliner and, like, incredibly bouffant 70s hair.
Yeah, billowing.
Yes. And I remember I found a copy of The Doctor Surgery when I was 7, and I took it home because I was so into the story, and it was about a girl who had woken up after a terrible accident and she couldn't remember anything, but her parents were weird and cold and distant, and I was so into the story that I sent off for the rest of them. Again, I was 7, so there were lots of spooky things, like things happened in the story, like a woman, she went to a fortune teller and the fortune teller looked at her palm and said, oh, but your lifeline is over. And what else happened? She ran into an old lady in the street who fainted, and she said, you are the spitting image of my dead granddaughter. And I remember I was 7, right at the end, it turns out that she had been pieced together from graves.
Oh, wow.
And her parents weren't her parents, they were scientists. And I think I read it and I screamed, and my mother came up and went, have you been reading? reading this, and I found these piles of comics under my... I was like, no, I don't know how they got there.
So how do you send off for something? It's a child.
My grandmother helped me.
Ah.
Like, if I caught Herbie reading some of this, I don't think I'd be that happy about it.
Unfulfilling stuff.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We'll be back to the books in a bit, but I'd like to talk about my steal of the week, a book so brilliant that it's worth its weight in diamonds. And buying it for the cover price alone is a bit like breaking the law. My choice this week is the journalist Christina Patterson's memoir, The Art of Not Falling Apart, which is published by Atlantic Books. Christina was a journalist at The Independent and was fired after years of being one of their lead writers and one of their most high-profile columnists. Christina has survived serious family issues, illnesses, her own breast cancer, and all kinds of, you know, drama and difficulties that life throws your way. But she said that losing her job was the hardest hurdle she's ever faced. And this is a book about identity and rebuilding it. And throughout the book, she interviews so many people and uncovers so many amazing, spellbinding stories about how people have faced some of their biggest challenges and how you never really know what's going on in anyone's life until you scratch the surface. Christina writes with so much warmth and humour. She's a really, really intelligent, thoughtful writer. And again, her words are incredibly moving. I think this book is, it's what I'd give to anyone if they were going through any sort of personal difficulty. The Art of Not Falling Apart is available now from all good bookshops. I can't recommend it highly enough. Now we're going to go back to the interrogation room for some more shocking literary secrets and revelations. So on the subject of crime and bounties and things, I have pulled out here Brighton Rock by Graham Greene.
Is that your copy of Brighton Rock?
I think so.
I think there's a handful of books that we've both read. That's one of them.
Did you both like it?
I quite liked it. I read mine in Korea, when I went through a stage of like, I'm going to read all the books that I never got around to reading. And I read that, and I read 1984, and then I read three pages of Crime and Punishment. I thought, got the internet now.
I've read lots of halves of books in the last year. I'm currently working on a book called Coping with Two, so that gives you an idea of where I am.
Are you writing it or reading it?
I'm reading it for tips.
Are you getting any tips from it?
I don't know, I've gone to the fly leaf and then I fell asleep.
Do you both read parenting literature and guides?
No, you were well into it when you were pregnant. There was a massive Mumsnet book that's like 3 inches thick.
It's actually really good. It's okay. From Mumsnet users. It's like,
is it called Am I Being Unreasonable?
No, we didn't. The closest we got that we both did together, we got the DVD version of a book called The Happiest Baby on the Block.
And it has all these hacks to finding your baby.
Did we smash it?
I think we did.
We either smashed it or we made concrete plans to smash it and then we just didn't have time. But it was terrible.
Being a parent is just full of awful advice and no one tells you that it's wrong. But anyway, my main problem with parenting books is that it's like tutorial videos where you Google how to do a smoky eye and then you get the video and it starts with thanking all of the YouTube comments by name, by username, and then telling you the reasons why she's doing a smoky eye video. And then, like, nothing starts until, like, 20 minutes in. And then she says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this brush. Parenting books are very similar in that they tell you why they're writing the book rather than any useful information about what you might want
to do. What reasons would you have for doing a smoky eye other than I wanted one?
Oh, no, they're just like, yesterday I was talking about this in my other video. I don't want to know that.
It's like when you look up recipes on food blogs.
Yeah.
And you have to scroll down like 15 paragraphs of, when I was six, I used to go to my aunt's house. I'm in a hurry. I need to know how to cook some chicken.
The internet isn't written entirely by Grandpa Simpson.
It feels like what it is sometimes. Oh, I hate food blogs.
The only reason you buy parenting books is because it's 3 a.m, you've got the Amazon app on your phone, and your baby has vomited or isn't sleeping or something like that. So you buy the book, and there's just 500 pages of preamble. And it's not lost to me that I've preambled quite a lot in this segment.
Every big parenting book, I know a parent who swears by it.
Yeah.
There's Gina Ford, who's a very sort of a stern lady, and she's all like, don't hug them ever. Don't look into their eyes.
Never let them know you love them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a bit like that. And I know people who swear by that.
Yeah.
And we've muddled through, haven't we?
Yeah.
What do you think would happen if Coolio wrote a parenting book?
Motherfucking parenting. A lot of it would be about how to sneak marijuana into baby bottles, I'm sure, make them chill.
Maybe the most effective advice.
I would buy it though.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you want to share your Kindle?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, because I've got that.
Mine's there.
I've got Stuart's phone.
That's my phone.
Know what the postcard. It's Robin's phone. Going to ask as well, because I found 1984 and a book called You're Thinking About Donuts.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever practiced mind control? Is that what this is?
No, You're Thinking About Donuts is my favourite book that I read as a kid. It's Michael Rosen. And I got to interview him last year for work, so I took the copy in to get him to sign it. So that's why it's around.
Oh, that's lovely. And he's drawn a picture.
I got him to sign it to Herbie as well. Look at that. What a good... There, so that's clearly a book that I want him to read.
Yeah, well done remembering that so well.
And it's really good. And it's very, very, very similar to Night at the Museum. So similar that he thought he had a lawsuit. Because it was so similar. It's a lovely book. And it's really sad. Because all the exhibits learn that they're not real and they're just sort of... There's an astronaut, and he realises he's just a plastic model of the astronaut, not the real astronaut. And it's... Well, I was 8 when I read it, and it broke my heart.
Aww.
I know. 1984, less so.
My Kindle's over there, I don't know.
We've got two Kindles.
I went through a big Anthony Bourdain phase, which I'm not that thrilled about you knowing.
Well, that's why we're here, that's what it's all about. Very excited to see, this is lovely, that Robin has... Stuart's book.
Do you? Robin, that's lovely. But I've got so many copies that unsold.
I know,
copies,
but I wanted the Kindle version for completeness.
Stuart, you said that you were not a fan of the dirty book, but I see a book here called The Sex Lives of Cannibals. What is that?
Oh,
what is that?
Oh, I never read that. Someone told me to get it.
How convenient!
Crossed his arms.
What's that about? It was a book that was similar to a book that I was talking about. So I went, you should get that. It might be about people who went on holiday. It might be a non-fiction book, I think, about people who went on holiday for a long time on a remote island. but I might be making that up.
I can understand why you buy a, or have a book, like a physical book, and not read it, but that you get a Kindle book.
Yeah, I have good intentions that just vanish.
Excitingly, on Robins, I see 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker, and 50 Shades Free.
Robin!
I had to review them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had to review all those copies of the Daily Star when I was working.
I read them all. I think I didn't read the last one.
Wow.
I've had to review the trailers.
Have you? You haven't seen the films?
No, I haven't seen
it. Is that a thing, reviewing trailers?
Oh, God. It's the best bit. Because so many people watch trailers, and comparatively, much fewer people watch the films. So that's my excuse for just laughing at bad films.
What did you think?
Of the trailer?
Of the trailer.
Really good.
50 Shades of Grey.
Really good. 50, which is the second one? Darker.
I don't know.
That's the best one, because he seems to, from what I've been able to glean from the trailer, he interferes with her job at the Independent Seattle Press or something.
So I should give you a book token, each as a reward for helping with my inquiries, the book inspector. And I'd also get you an uninterrupted 48, 70 hours babysitting.
Oh my God.
What would you read? What would you pick?
I'd sleep. Yeah.
Sleep. Oh, that's an interesting
question. No, you have to read. You have to read.
All right, Mum. I've got books, yeah, that I've bought and not read.
The thing is, if there's a Marion Keyes, I will just read it. I'll just find time. And I don't know where I'll find that time normally.
Well, she's got a newish book out. I don't know if you've read The Break.
Yes, no, I managed to eat that in a day, in a night, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. If also I had a TARDIS, I would read all of the next Philip Pullman books in the La Belle Sauvage. And now I'm hooked. And now I have to wait another hundred years to find out what happens next.
This is how all Game of Thrones people feel.
No, but those are Game of Thrones books. This is an actual book.
You've made so many.
I don't care. I think
with Game of Thrones, the hardcore fantasy listeners of this podcast,
I think it's very poorly written.
We're going to get into so much trouble.
It's very well done on the TV. Someone, one of our friends, Kirsty, made a Facebook post the other day, which was. It was an excerpt from Book of Ice and Fire, or Song of Ice and Fire, which was the trees rustled like living things. And then after, under that she put, this is my problem with Game of Thrones, trees are living things. And it's just filled with that kind of prose, and I can't read it.
So you would like a credit for the future Marion Keyes or Philip Pullman, whoever does all that. So, lads... Marion and Philip, if you're listening, it's on. The first one of you to publish another book will get Robin's book money.
Brilliant. Also, just want to put a vote in for Bret Easton Ellis and Scarlett Thomas. Any of those, they want to write anything new, I'm in.
I have a book that I bought. Right, when I found that when you write a book, everyone else who's writing books at the same time sends you their book. Mm. So I've had, my last year has just been books that I've been sent by people I know or people I've heard of. And some have been really, most of them have been really good. But I bought, I think it's called either Before the Fall or After the Fall by Noah Hawley, the guy who wrote Fargo.
Oh, yes.
I'm desperate to just find some time to read it. Everyone I know who's read it says it's amazing. And it's just a very sort of grippy, well-plotted thriller. I had to read one of the most recent books I read. Dolly Alderton sent me a PDF of her book.
Everything I Know About Love.
Yes.
Available from Victory.
I had to it was on my phone, and I was just, whenever I got a couple of minutes, it was like I was checking Twitter. And that's no way to read a book. You have to put some time away.
Well, I reckon you need to do some cooking and childcare with Coolio. Make some delicious marijuana-laced baby food. Let nature take its course, and then you can get cracking.
Why haven't I cooked anything out of this?
I think your next book should be a parenting book.
He's got a whole chapter on steak. There's what's the beef? There's pork steak. There's it's stew beefy. Don't know. What's the beef? Hand me my burger. That's not good. Steak through my heart. I kind of get that one. Unwrinkled beef.
Ooh.
Ooh. What is that? Is that a penis thing?
I don't know. Don't look at me. I don't have one.
I may be a 46-year-old man, but I got abs like a Mississippi washboard. He didn't write this. I might actually... Oh, my God. I haven't read. There's a chap called It's Hard Out There for a Shrimp. immediately I've changed my mind about this. This is my favourite book.
So if nothing else, this episode of You're Booked has given Stuart Heritage the chance to read a book that he owns.
That I got for Christmas 3 years ago. Go me.
Thanks so much for listening and helping me in my efforts to keep our guests on the straight and narrow and out of Reading Jail. Sorry, Reading Jail. Stuart Heritage's book, Don't Be a Dick Pete, is available now. You can find the Naughty Step podcast on Acast, and you can find Robin's column in The Pool every Saturday morning. Join me next time for more petty page-based crimes and shelf actualisation. If you want to find out more information about the show, go to acars.com/booked. You can email us at whybooked@gmail.com. You can say hello to me at notrollergirl on Twitter or thedaisybee, that's B as in the insect, on Instagram. If you liked it, please rate the podcast, review it, subscribe and spread the word. This helps others to find the podcast and keeps our bookshops and libraries safe. This episode was produced by Dale Shaw. I'm Daisy Buchanan. Don't have nightmares. Do read well.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.